All right, turn to Ephesians 3. We're going to start by praying together. There's a prayer here in Ephesians 3 that I believe God wants to answer before we leave today, and we'll continue to do this in our hearts. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing to a group of believers. And there are two prayers that he has for them, one in chapter 1 and another in chapter 3. And because these prayers made it into Scripture, these are Holy Spirit-inspired prayers. How many of you know not all of our prayers are necessarily Holy Spirit-inspired? Okay, what you pray about the taxi driver who cuts you off, that probably didn't make Scripture, okay? But this one did, and what we know is that we can pray this for us. We can pray this for ourselves, because this was prayed for saints. This was prayed for believers, and so this is for the church in Roma as well. So, So if you've got your Bible, if you've got it on an app on your phone, open up to Ephesians 3. Make sure you bring your Bible to church so that the pastor doesn't preach from second imaginations, okay? So here's a prayer, but we're going to pray this for ourselves, okay? And I'm going to pray this for all of us, but you pray along as well. Ephesians 3:14. Lord, for this reason we bow our knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And Father, today at Miracle Life, we ask that you would grant, according to the riches of your glory, that we would be strengthened with might through your Spirit in the inner man, that Jesus Christ, you would dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we would be rooted and grounded in love. And Father, help us to comprehend. Give us understanding with all the saints, Father, that we would understand what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, that we would know the love of Jesus Christ through experience for ourselves that passes knowledge, and that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so we believe God is going to answer that prayer this morning. So turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 16, and then we're going to go backwards to get more insight as to why John said this, and will help us. John 4:16, it says, "And we have known and believed." Everybody say no. Everybody say believe. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. We have known and believed what? God's love, the love that he has for us. So John is, in a sense, what he's saying is the prayer that we prayed in Ephesians 3 for him, it's answered. We have known and we have believed. And so a lot of the, especially the first epistle of John, is he writes a lot of things. He says, I write these things that you may know, that you may have assurance, that you may know you have eternal life, a number of different things. And how many of you know you and I live in a world of uncertainty? There is so much that we don't know. There's so much that we will never know, or that we're not supposed to know. What's going to happen with the exchange rate? I don't know. Where will prices be in a year or two? I have no earthly idea. We have uncertainty when it comes to economics. We have uncertainty when it comes to politics. How many of you have lived long enough to say, wow, I've seen some surprises in politics and world affairs in my lifetime? Yeah, it's just surprising, okay? Yeah, so there's so much uncertainty. There's another area of uncertainty that we have in our life is other people. How many know people are very unpredictable? Some surprise you on the good side. Isn't that a great day? When someone surprised you, thought, I didn't know so-and-so had it in them. All right, and then sadly, we've all been disappointed by people, haven't we? Where we had certain expectations and hopes, and maybe their behavior was certain up to a point, and then we're disappointed. There is uncertainty. The other area of uncertainty we have sometimes is us. How many of you have surprised yourself? Where I wasn't thinking that was going to happen, but it did, right? So lots of uncertainty, some we can't change, but here is an area where God does not want us to have uncertainty. He wants us to know and believe the love that He has for us. So let's go backwards in this passage here, 1 John 4 from verse 16, but let's go back to verse 9 and read, and I think we'll have greater light and greater understanding of why John is saying we can know and believe. Verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Another translation says this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. So this love that is described, it was manifested to us by God sending Jesus as God-man, and that He would die for us, that He would become the propitiation for our sin. Aren't you glad that God's love was manifested? You know, there's a lot of times in the world people will say, and praying for you. And it's nice to know that people are praying for you, right? But for those of us that don't have time to spell it out, now we have a prayer emoji. Right? Somebody told me that that's not even a prayer emoji. I don't know what it is, yeah. We should have a Pentecostal prayer emoji. You know, somebody should start one, okay? So it's nice that people are praying for us. Now, in the world, people that are non-religious, people that are not followers of Jesus or any other religion, they kind of feel left out when somebody's hurting and they say, well, okay, I can't say I'm praying for you because I'm not praying for you. So they said this, sending thoughts. Sending thoughts? How did you do that? Because it didn't come as a boop-boop. I didn't receive it, okay? So there's a lot of human stuff where love is talked about, it's promised, but it's not delivered upon. God didn't say that He loved us, although He did. He proved that He loved us by sending His Son, Jesus. His love was manifested. It showed up. And John said in his gospel, he said, we saw it. I'm an eyewitness. We saw grace and truth. All right. So the love of God is manifested, and the proof of it is the fact that Jesus died for us and paid the full payment. All right. Now, he's going to continue. So since this is true, Let's act on that. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, which He did, right? If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected or brought to maturity. So God manifested his love towards us through sending his Son, but he manifests it again through his body, through his people. And so we are called upon not to die on a cross like Jesus did, because we can't do that, because it took a sinless life to do that. But what do? We show up. We let God's love be matured in us by letting him be manifested in our life, in our family, the people, one another, the people that you know. Amen? Not sending thoughts to Turkey or changing your profile picture to Ukraine's flag. They really don't care if you did that. That didn't do anything. It maybe made you feel good. Okay? All right. So manifest, show up. Verse 13. By this we know. See, there's some things we're supposed to know. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us. Here's another proof. Because he has given us his Spirit. So Jesus came, but then he left. He ascended to his Father. But he said, when I go, I will send someone like me. Someone just like me, and he will abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit in us and among us is proof that God loves us. Amen? Verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. And whoever confesses that he is Son of God, how many say that's me? Whoever, because we... That means there's some people and there's not some people. How many of you say, I qualify for that group? I have confessed Jesus as the Son of God. Yes. God abides in him and he in God. Abide, make his home. He's not going anywhere. And here's verse 16. And we have known and believed the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now, we're going to, next week, and the week after, we're going to get into Easter and who Jesus, what he came to do and who he is in our life. But I really felt impressed for this Sunday that there's some people that as we read this and as we talk about God's love, people would say, I'm not so sure about that. I can't say that I know and believe. Pastor, I've got some doubts about God's love. I have found myself wondering about his love. And I felt like there's a few groups of people, and I have been in these groups in my lifetime before as well. But you find yourself doubting God's love for you, not God's love for everybody, or for Esther Chungu. Of course he loves Esther Chungu, right? But you doubt his love for you because you've been disappointed. Life didn't happen the way you drew it up. Your job, that business partner scheme thing, the village banking, the village burnt down. Come on. Do you live in the real world where I live? Okay. You know, they say it takes a village. Well, in village banking, it only takes one to mess with the village. Okay, so. Yeah. Some of you are not laughing because it's not funny. It's not funny. Okay. We have circumstances. We have circumstances that are disappointing. And we then interpret our disappointment or letdown or setback to God and His care for us. His care for us. Do you remember the time when Jesus was with His disciples and Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side"? How many know if Jesus says that, that's a good statement? That means we're going to the other side. All right? And Oral Roberts put it this way, we're not going under because we're going over. So Jesus made that proclamation. But how many know a funny thing happens before you get to the other side? There was a storm. Jesus was asleep. Jesus wasn't worried. But when they woke up Jesus, they asked Him this. "You don't care. Don't you care for us?" They interpreted a storm that Jesus doesn't care. And these were the hand-picked guys. Okay? These were in the apostle training school. And when life got crazy, they thought, Jesus doesn't care. Because if He cared, this wouldn't be happening. That's bad logic. Okay? Another time people wonder if God cares is when there is delay. When the timetable is not what you said. All right? I love the memes in January. I don't know if you've seen this, but little kids with rocks. And it comes out like on January 10th, and they're looking, it says, "Looking for the prophet who said I'd be married last year." You know? I really don't think that's within the prophet's discretion. Okay. Right? So, there's delay, there's timing, there's, I shouldn't be here. And I'm frustrated at God, and I'm wondering if He cares. Okay? Or, because sometimes, you know, circumstances, stuff that's happening, but sometimes you doubt God's care, not because of circumstances, because of you. Because of you. And here's the thing about our past that is tough. I was there for all of my sins. My wife wasn't. My brother wasn't. He was there for quite a few, I must say. Together. Partners in crime, okay? So, yeah, my brother doesn't know everything. My wife doesn't know anything. My mama and my dad. But I do. I do. And we are aware of that, and we wonder if we've sinned away our day of love from the Lord. Our past would disqualify us. All right? I want to look at Scripture today, and I want us to help us to... that because whenever we have doubts, it's not like you can just kind of turn your doubt switch off. You need new information. All right? And if we're doubting, we're believing the wrong thing. So God wants to replace what we're doubting on with His truth. But it's very, very true that we interpret these things in the light of God's love for us. When our kids were really little, we only had two kids, but we found quickly that kids are different. And what worked wonderfully with one child, the other child, you wonder, where did they come from? Whose child is this, right? And for us, one of the things was when our kids were little, toddlers, is that our firstborn, Tim, he would just go to sleep. He would announce to us, you know, it's 8:12, and he'd just walk in the room. Hello, I'm going to sleep now. And he could, and still today, he could sleep anywhere, anytime. He could just go to sleep. All right. Not so much Jessica. That little wheel was just spinning. And so it was sleep time. It was bedtime, but she's not unwound yet. All right. And so we'd pray, and we'd, you know, put her to bed, and she'd, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, Dad, Dad. And I'd go in there, I'm not asleep. Oh, thank you for informing. I was unaware of that. Okay. Dad, I'm not asleep. So I go encourage you. And then I found a scripture that my wife and I, we use the scripture for ourselves. So we thought, oh, certainly this will work for her. Psalm 127, 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. It's this last part. For he gives his beloved sleep. So I would just quote that last part. And I'd say, Jess, let's pray. They pray. Okay, she's going to pray. I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you that Jessica, that you love her, that she is your beloved. And Lord, I thank you that you give your beloved sleep. Amen. Amen. Okay, good night, Jessica. 20 minutes later, Dad! And she said this. She was so mad. She goes, Dad, I'm still awake. I guess I'm not his beloved. You know what? At 4 years old, she was just honest enough to verbalize what sometimes we think in church. Right? People stand up to get married at church. You know, we cheer, and you're not cheering because you remember them at UNSA, and and when they were drinking, I was in prayer meetings. I guess I'm not his beloved. So it can happen, folks. It can happen. Oh, but my. When you begin to doubt his love for you, oh, that's really is dangerous ground. Because everything he does is based on his love. And so John was making a case to say, he sent his son. Jesus died for you. There is evidence. There is manifestation. There is proof that God loves you. Now, I believe he does a lot of other things, but in a sense, that really is all the proof we need. But I believe there is other proof, isn't there? Okay? So, let's go to a place where, oh my, this is such a convincing account when we're doubting, when we're wondering about his love. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. A magnificent chapter of the Bible. Wow, what a chapter in the Bible. And Paul is, in some ways, he's kind of wrapping up the first seven chapters, and then he's going to launch into some 9, 10, and 11 different groups of people. But what an amazing summary he's doing about what God has done for us in Jesus. Romans 8:31, it says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? Here's the answer. If God is for us, who? What person? What demon in hell? Who can ever be against us? And he uses the same argument that John did. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all. Everybody say all. Are you in the word called all? Okay, if we were reading from Ephesians 5 and it says husbands, some of you would go, oh, that's not my verse. Because it's not. All right? But when it says all, that's your verse. Okay? God gave his Son up for us all. Won't he also give us everything else? Are there other gifts? Is there other generosity coming from God? Doesn't it say it? It does say it, that there is. There is other. There is. So everything that he gives, he already gave his best. Won't he do everything else that he's promised? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or if we're in a storm on the boat? Or if I can't go to sleep at night? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Question mark. The answer is no. You have to answer that question. As scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. In the context of when Paul was writing this to the church at Rome, with a crazy Roman emperor who was killing Christians, that would be good to know. That what I see, the persecution that the church is under, is in no way a sign that God has diminished his love for us. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who what? Who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. That's everywhere. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is God answering the prayer we prayed? I believe he is in our hearts. So you and I, we became the object of God's love. The Bible says he loved us. God sent his Son for us when? When we were still sinners. When we were still sinners. Did God stop loving you because you're in a storm? Or because village banking collapsed? No, don't tell anybody, but because you caused it to collapse. Come on. Don't blame the devil. Or because of sin. No, he didn't stop loving you. One of the greatest comforting verses I find in the Bible, in Hebrews 12, is that whom the Father loves, he corrects. Like a father and a child. He is involved in our life. He doesn't run away when we sin. He steps into the room. He will help you if you let him. And he'll help you in the temptation. He'll help you when the sin is small before it grows into something much worse. So there was a sacrifice that he gave. Your life and the circumstances of your life and the people around you do not change God's love for you. There's a great illustration that Jesus gave, and he wasn't talking about a person that he knew, but he told a story to give us some understanding. In Luke, the 15th chapter, after he talked about the lost sheep and the lost coin, then he brought it really closer to home. Something we can all feel is the prodigal son. The son. And some Bibles say the lost son. He wasn't lost. He knew exactly where he was. And he knew where his father's house was. He wasn't lost. He was there on purpose. Okay? But his heart was lost from his father. And after he shamed his father publicly by saying, "I wish you were dead. I don't want to live with you. I don't want to be associated with you. I just want the money." Imagine doing that to your grandfather or your flesh and blood father. What a disgrace. Well, he did it. And he got the money, and it was a lot. And the Bible says he wasted the money in riotous living. How many know the world will always help you for a price to live crazy? There's a price. And people go through money fast. All right? So he wasted his money with riotous living. All of his friends left. He was starving. There was a famine. He had no more money. And here is a Jewish young man who is now serving pigs. He's helping pigs to eat, and he can't eat. The pigs are eating better than him. And he's so hungry, he looks at the pig food and says, "Yum." Maybe you've been that hungry. And when that happens, something snaps. The Bible says he came to himself. He woke up. He realized, what am I about to do? I'm about to eat pig's food. And then he had a scheme, a plan. And he said, and he remembered his father's house and that the servants, the people who worked, they didn't live in the house, they lived out back. But the servants, his father was so good that they had bread to spare. They didn't run out of food. Even in a time of famine, the father was taking care of his workers. And the son said, "You know what? I'm going to be one of those guys. All right? I need food, and I know my father feeds his workers, so I'm going to go back to my father and plead with him, make me like one of your servants. I'm no longer worthy to be your son, but I'm hungry." And so as he was coming home, the father saw him a long way off and ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. And the son began to say, "Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned in your sight." Yep, true. Second point of his 3-point confessional of his plan to get servant bread. "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." The father interrupts him. Doesn't even talk to him. Starts calling out to the servants. "I need you to kill the fatted calf. I need you to bring a robe. I need you to bring the family ring. I need you to put shoes on his feet." He came home bare feet. Servants were not allowed to wear shoes in those days. He gave him his sonship back. And he said, "Let's have a party for my son who was dead has come home." Did the father ever stop loving him? No. But I want you to hear this. Did the father chase him down and grab him from the pig pen and drag him by the hair back to his house against his will? No. What did he do? He waited. He waited. But what was in his heart never stopped for his son. God has manifested, God has demonstrated his love for you. Whether today you are his child, whether today you might be a dirty child, or whether you're not his child at all. But whatever category you're in, there is a God in heaven who sent his son for you, and he died for you, and he wants to be good to you today. Today. But here's what one of the things I believe God's asking for us to do is to cast aside our doubt, is to stop assuming we know some things about God's heart. And what we see from the Word of God is it's not true. Just because life has been tough, or people have been evil, or you have been evil, or you can't sleep, or it's too late, or you started the course and you didn't finish. Do not doubt the love of a God who came for you and died on a cross for you and became sin for you and was raised from the dead for you. And the Bible we just read is now at the right hand of the Father pleading, praying for you. Amen. Amen. I believe that's one of the reasons why we don't have to ask any saint in heaven to pray for us, because Jesus already is. And his prayers are awesome. Amen. Would you bow your head with me? Father, we thank you for what you've revealed through Jesus, and then you've made so clear in your word. But Father, I'm very aware by your Spirit that there are people here who are struggling to believe and struggling, or they have cast aside. And Lord, it's like life has been disappointed, and now they're going to try to somehow get you back by ignoring you or doubting you. Somehow that's going to punish you in some way. But God, what a foolish thing to do. What a foolish thing to do. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Let's just stand to our feet right now. Let's just stand to our feet right now. You know, the Bible says that it refers to praise as a sacrifice. I mean, it's at times it's costly. And I realize there are folks that when it's time to thanking God and praising you are just the first person. But I am challenging you, and I'm commanding people in this room that you have been disappointed with God, and you realize I need to place my anger somewhere else other than God. All right, today I want you to lift your hands. I want you to lift up your voice to a God who loves you, a God who runs and meets dirty children, a God who throws parties for sinners. I want you to lift your hands to God right now and offer up a sacrifice of praise. Everybody else, we can join these as well. But just lift up your hands and lift up your heart to heaven right now. Oh, Father, right now we thank you. God, we're sorry where we've doubted you. And God, we may leave this place with still some uncertainty of why did my relative do that, and why did I not finish that course, or why did that happen with my money or my job? Lord, we may not have all of our answers relieved today. Oh, but we lift up our hands and we say, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. His loving kindness, His covenant love has no end. For He is faithful and He is righteous and He is good. Just pray. Just lift up your voices. Just go ahead and pray out loud right now. Oh, Rabashkete le meshketu ramaskadela raboshete. Soto kandabashkedele.